Let's pray for the message and the messenger for that matter. Lord, I ask that you would use the words that I speak today, that you would give them life. Otherwise, they're just words anyway. So I ask that you would speak to all of us concerning our journey of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody starts someplace. Everybody has to start someplace, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about a career or a marriage or a new job or a beginning relationship with God. Everybody has to start someplace. Kind of like Todd coming up here and being baptized. Everybody has to start someplace. It's always at the beginning. When it comes to an education, everybody starts in first grade. When it comes to learning a musical instrument, you have to learn the basics of music first. When it comes to a career, we have to start on the bottom of the ladder and work our way up. When it comes to learning a sport, such as baseball, it begins with those beginning days of T-ball. When it comes to a lifelong walk with the Lord, it always begins with that first step. When it comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, it always requires a beginning time and place. When we start the journey of faith and we really have no idea where that journey will actually lead us. And when it comes to a commitment to the Lord Jesus to follow his, everybody has to begin someplace. A person can begin that journey at the age of 7 or at the age of 75 and everywhere in between in terms of age. One of the things that we continually need to be aware of as a church and a congregation is that we are a group of people in all stages of faith. We're all in different places in terms of our journey in this life. We have people who have walked with the Lord Jesus a long time in this congregation. Some who have walked with him for a few years. Some who have walked with him a few months. And I dare say this, that some who come to this church who do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Some of you might be on a verge of a new journey with him in faith. I want to read together this scripture, the whole thing from Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 to chapter 12, verse 7. Everybody starts someplace, Bible study on Abraham last Wednesday night. Some of what I'm going to say this morning was part of that particular study, but Bible studies are a little bit different than sermons. But I want us to read this whole length of scripture together. Here we go. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. And by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. As I said, I've started a Bible study in the life of Abraham on Wednesday nights. And actually, this is some of what we talked about on Wednesday. This reading of Scripture in Genesis shows us a picture of God calling Abraham, who is the father of the faith, and a picture for us of how God calls each of us out of the world to a journey of faith. And like Abraham, a lot of us sometimes just don't have the Scriptures. We may know about it, and we may know a verse here and there, but we don't know the principles of living in the way that he talks to us. Abraham is a picture for us and a picture of us. He's a model. He's a prototype. Genesis is a book of beginnings, and Abraham is that prototype of beginning a journey in faith. He's a man without a Bible, because it wasn't until Moses that we had any scriptures. God began a work with a man who was 75 years old. So whatever our age level, it is wisdom to learn that in God's dealing with us, we all have a responsibility to respond to God whenever he wants to move on our lives in terms of what he wants to work. When Abraham begins, God called him out of his family, out of his kindred, out of a country where he was comfortable. God called Abraham out of a place where he had everything he needed. And God began to deal with him and build a man who was to be a blessing to the world. It all began with a basic commitment, though, on Abraham's part. Everybody has to start someplace. All of us. Abraham was called by God to make a basic commitment to God, and Abraham made that commitment. And then Abraham left his family, his people, and his country, and he went not knowing where he was going. Abraham was comfortable where he lived. Everything was fairly understood. And then God began to deal with him and call him out of that, and he made a commitment to go where God told him to go, not knowing where he was going. And there's a principle here when it comes to following God. You don't direct your life on your own terms. Now, let me say it again. You don't direct your life on your own terms. You seek out what God wants you to do in your life. And it doesn't matter if you're a young person seeking the first things in life or whether you are someone who is 75 years old like Abraham or any place in between there. There's a principle in following God, and that principle is letting the Lord put together the ingredients of your life. Now, I'm going to say it again because this has to do with submission to God's leading of you, is letting the Lord put together the ingredients of your life. If we look at this story of Abraham, let's see if we can picture what is happening. I've pondered what was going on in Abraham's family. I mean, they take him out of stained glass. Terah is the father of Abraham, and he begins the journey. And I wonder what was going on in his heart. Terah had lost a son. Haran had died, obviously. And for some reason, God had got a hold of this entire family and caused them to move out from Ur of the Chaldeans, and they left. The whole family left. If you notice, they were to go to the land of Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there, and Terah died there. But Abraham goes on. Now, there are a couple of principles that we can apply to our lives if we want to. Terah was told to go to Canaan, but what he did was he stopped halfway there, and he died there. It doesn't say that Terah went to hell because he didn't do the will of God. He just never arrived at the place where he was supposed to be at, the destined place that God had called him to. And I have noticed this. Some followers of the Lord Jesus do the same thing. They make a good start, but they don't follow through with their lives. They quit growing. They settle into the subtlety and the security of Haran, you might say. That is, they settle into their job security, their family, their comfort, and no risk. And they get to a level of faith And they said, that's enough. Now, they don't come right out and say that. But they say, I've arrived. And they can die there. People die without ever seeing the promise or fulfillment in their journey of life, in their faith, as far as God wants to show them. You know, I take tours in people's lives, and I'm a long-term pastor. And being a long-term pastor, you get to see a lot of things. And I notice it in people that I have pastored over the years. They stop. They get so much, and then they say, well, I've arrived. I don't need any more. There's another principle here as well. It may be that God has worked in your life in the past through a parent or maybe a loved one or a friend, maybe your spouse, but there comes a time when the Lord will call you. And you're called to go farther than the people around you. And those people who feel secure in their faith and their life, and suddenly God begins to work on you in a new way. And Terah became secure in Turan, but Abraham was called to go farther along. There comes a time when the Lord will call you where you need to be in your personal life. And it may not have anything to do with the people around you. The Lord will call you sometimes to move past family, past brothers and sisters, maybe past your parents, maybe past your children. And the Lord will call you to move past friends because they've parked themselves and God's calling you farther. The Lord will even call you to a new way of thinking in terms of who you are in terms of your life. I want you to read with me again Genesis 12:1. Here we go. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And there's three things in this one verse, if you'll notice. God called Abraham and he calls us to move away from the familiar things in our lives. Those things that are comfortable, they're comfortable stuff to each of us. Our country, which is people who are around us that come to make us feel comfortable. It could be your environment or your job place or your leisurely friends. People that we know. Our kindred, which is like our family, our fellowships with other people who are like family. And it's very comfortable being with them, like brothers and sisters, or maybe close friends. And the third thing here is your father's house. And that's a little bit more subtle because it really has to do with breaking out of old ways of thinking. A lot of times we have to deal with this. This could be have to do with family traditions or church traditions. It could have to be the ideas that are really fine. But we're called to a new way of thinking as God moves us to a new place in terms of our lives. And time again, God does this to us. He calls us out of points of security and comfort in order to work new things in us. And everybody has to start somewhere. Where are you today? Everybody has to start somewhere. But the starting place is not the important thing, so much as the call on our lives and the journey of faith. So Abraham moves out, not knowing where he is going. Abraham is wrenched away from the security of his home, from the comfort of his family and friends, the kindred, from the familiarity of his own country, the environment, what he was used to in terms of environment. And he went out not knowing where he was going and became the father of the faith. So what is the call of God on your life? What is the call of Jesus on your life? Jesus made a call on his disciples. He said to them, come and follow me. And on the front of the bulletin cover is what he said to them. Follow me. And when he called it, when Jesus said that, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. But what he didn't tell them what the price of discipleship would be. And I believe there's a reason why the Lord does not tell us all the things at the beginning. It's because when we first start out, I don't think any of us could really handle the revelation of knowing what we were going to be involved in terms of our lives. If we were to look at where we were going to go in terms of our journey, I think a lot of us would turn around and run the other way, because we couldn't handle it. You know, if I saw what was down the road just so far in my own life, I don't think I could really handle the knowledge of what I would be doing. But the Lord builds sons and daughters who are strong in His will and His purpose, who as they mature can handle the things that come their way. They can be fruitful in those events of their lives. They can have purpose as they grow in the faith, as they go on that faith journey. We don't need to know everything at the front end of the thing. You know, that's one of the things that's here. There's another part of this scripture that is very important, and it's a principle that we all need to understand. I want to talk about a frightening thing about the summons of God on our lives. When God calls us to move in faith and that journey of faith in our life, we hardly ever go alone. I want you to read with me verse 5 in Genesis chapter 12. Here we go. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, then he goes on. Now I want you to look back and read with me verse 31 of chapter 11. Here we go. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, there are a couple things we need to see in these two verses. But I'm going to give you an exhortation here. That's where I get in your face. You understand that? Exhortation? If there's anybody here this morning that is still living in Haran, that is, you started out to go to the land of promise, you started out in your faith journey, but you parked it someplace, and the Lord has called you to go someplace else and further along in terms of your own personal life. The promises that God has given to you, what you know you were called to be and to do, but you've parked it, you stop someplace short of that promise. You've settled down in your faith. I have a word for you. Friends, you can die where you stopped. I'm not talking about spiritual death or separation from God. I am just talking about never realizing your potential and the Lord's purpose in your life. Your destiny. You know, I take tours in people's lives. Because I'm a long-term pastor, I've come to realize that there are people who have died as though they have never lived. And I see them all the time. You know, the Lord calls us and enter into His abundance, His life. God tells Terah, you go to Canaan. But you know what? He stops. He dies in Haran, and much of his family dies with him right there. And he never gets to where he's supposed to be. Abraham goes on to the land of promise, and when he gets there, there are all kinds of people with him, including all their possessions. You know, the frightening thing about God's summon on our lives and our response is if we don't go, there are other people who are not going to get into the promise of God either because of our choice to sit down and park. Now, this is the truth. As minister of this church, if I do not follow the will of God as he leads us on our spiritual journey, there are some of you who are not going to get there if I stop somewhere. Because collectively speaking, I am your spiritual covering. That's just the way it is for a lot of us. And it's true of other churches as well in terms of their ministers and leaders. It is also true of many of you, though. It is especially true if you are a parent and you have kids around you and following, or it may be that you have people in your job place. You, in fact, bring people with you in terms of the journey of faith. Whether you know it or not, you're bringing people along with you, or you have people die with you in Haran. Because you stop your growth, your journey. Abraham was the covering of these people and that he took with him. So I want to talk to you about spiritual coverings for just a minute. Lot was like a son to Abraham. Sarai was his wife. They had all their possessions. They had family and household, and Abraham was the covering for this particular group of people. Now, the idea of covering is not something that we think about much at all, but it's very important. A covering is a form of protection from the weather. We might say that a covering is something that protects us from the world, like a tent, like a roof. How many of you have been thinking about the roof that's over your head right now? Probably none of you. But you know what? It keeps the weather out. Now, Abraham was a covering for these people. He was a roof over them. And I tell you, many of you are coverings for your family and your friends, whether you know it or not. Fathers are spiritual coverings for their wives and children. Mothers are spiritual coverings sometimes for their husbands and their children. I know this, if there are a lot of holes in the spiritual coverings, then there's going to be a lot of trouble in those families. Now, we may not like to think that like that, where we are responsible for others, and isn't everybody responsible for themselves anyway? Well, yeah, that's true, sort of, but sometimes it isn't true. We are responsible for ourselves, but it's also true that fathers are the primary spiritual coverings for their wives and children. Men, you mothers are spiritual coverings for your children, but sometimes you're the spiritual coverings for your husbands as well. If you're a single parent, guess what? You're it. And I tell you, if there are a lot of holes in the covering, then the weather of the world gets in. I know, I am your spiritual covering. I'm your spiritual covering for this church. If I am not spiritually strong and wise, if I have a lot of holes in me in terms of self, in regards to integrity or spiritual sight or leadership or lacking in wisdom and vision and enthusiasm or compassion and love or any number of areas, then those holes in your covering become places for devastation to occur within the context of this church. And this church is not a building. It's people. It's you. And at least constant harassment of our well-being if there are a lot of holes. Now, I've given you examples. I can give you examples in this city, by the way, of bad spiritual coverings where there's a lot of holes in those who lead churches. But you know, all you have to do is think about a city or think about, the state of Illinois. I think our covering is crappy. And I'm not talking about the governor, just the governor. I'm talking about all those people who supposedly are supposed to be wise and serve us. And we are exposed to the weather. We have a lot of this going on in terms of this. Our previous denomination, which we got out of 2 years ago, is still a prime example of a group of people without spiritual covering. I mean, that place is full of holes. Our previous denomination was a mess. It still is. We've moved into ECO, which is actually, now we have become part of the spiritual covering of this denomination. And we're going to be able to build our own spiritual covering, and we're part of that now. But we're also pioneers out there. We're kind of like Abraham, moving along right out there, and we're going to, if we're not covered up, we're going to be afflicted by the problems of the world or our own rebellion or our lack of sight. Now, Jesus talks about spiritual coverings for his people. At one point, he said about himself, read with me Matthew 26, verse 31. Here we go. Then Jesus said to them, "You all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." That actually comes from Ezekiel, what he's quoting. What he was saying is that when the covering is taken away, the sheep are exposed to the elements, whether those elements be evil or just the world around them. Now, I tell you, friends, I need to speak the truth to you today. Some of you that are the spiritual coverings for other people, you're full of holes. That doesn't make you holy people, by the way. And the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you in these days of as the spiritual coverings for people around you. And I tell you, if you're not careful, and that means full of care, by the way, some of your families are not going to get on with it because you won't get on with it in terms of these things. And until you decide to rise up and get out of Haran, so to speak, and say we're moving on in terms of our lives spiritually and the journey of faith, they won't move. And they will die there. Some of you people probably know you're living in Haran right now. You parked it. You sat down someplace on the side of the road. I don't know, but you know, and God knows too, and he's telling you to get on with it. I just might be the messenger up here who is giving you that word. And get out of there and get on with the journey of faith to that promised land. You know, these things that we have coming up, this women's conference, this men's conference, you guys should be in it. Because we're talking about the things in our journey of faith at these conferences that are coming up. If you haven't been to a great banquet, you ought to go. You ought to get it into your life in terms of what that means in terms of knowing Jesus as Savior and making him Lord of your life. I know there's somebody here probably who is saying in their heart right now, well, I've followed God this far. I'm comfortable with my faith. I'm okay. I'm all right. I need to tell you, the Lord will let you die there. He will let you die where you right are. But he calls us to be like Abraham and move on in faith. And Abraham moved on. This is a message to spiritual leaders, Christian leaders, people who are heads of households. If Abraham had been content to stay in Haran, then Lot, Sarai, his wife, all their family would have died right there in Haran. And let me say this to fathers in particular this morning. And I speak from authority as one. And I stand under the same judgment which I am about to state. Too long, fathers, we have abdicated our spiritual authority and given our responsibility to be the spiritual leaders and heads of our families to the ladies. It is time for many of us men to be the men God has called us to be, and you know where you're at right now. I am not even suggesting that you're not a follower of Jesus, but I am suggesting that some of us may need to take a real hard look at ourselves in terms of the principles of following God's will and be intentional in growing our relationship with God and get on with it. And be in the spiritual coverings and the leaders God wants us to be and quit leaving it up to the women. Everybody has to start someplace and sometime. Today is as good as any day to start or restart our journey in following God. Let's pray. Lord, help us to get up off our couches or our comfortable places if we're not, and get on with a journey of faith that you call for each of us to have. In his name, amen.